I'm going to read a passage in Titus. Titus chapter 2. I believe the way you learn is through repetition. And people talk about, you know, well, you might repeat all this. And I hammer a lot of things in about right division. And I do that because the will of God is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And there's a multitude of people, and we've been talking about the mystery of iniquity, and I tried to bring out the mystery of iniquity is that religious system, the apostate religion, whatever, systems of the world, and that is the mystery of iniquity. And most of the world is in idolatry. And they're worshiping idols and satisfying their self. One big idol that people worship, if you spell sin, what's the middle letter? I. And yourself can be an idol. And the body of Christ, the only way that's going to bring them out of that snare, as we talked last week, is the truth of this book rightly divided. And people say, well, you're chopping the Bible up. I'm not chopping the Bible up. I believe all of this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe every word in it. I believe that a King James Bible has all the words that God wanted in it. And I believe that there are no words in it that He didn't want in it. And I believe that words that are in it is there because He wanted them there. So don't people say, well, you've cut it up and you throw away. No, I believe all this Bible is for me. From Genesis to Revelation. But it's not all to me as a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, I must rightly divide this Bible in order to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation that we live in. And to walk according to the rule that He would have me to walk. I've had people to tell me, well, I believe in following Christ. And I say, amen. I believe in following Christ. But if you look back in the Old Testament, how was men to follow the Lord back in the Old Testament when Moses was leading them out? Who was they following? Moses. And God was given the instructions to Moses for them to follow. And if they rejected Moses, would they be following the Lord? Well, I know 250 men that took fire from and burnt incense with censers. And the Lord opened the ground and they went to hell in their shirt tails before they knew what hit them. They was not following God because they were not following Moses. They said, Moses, you take too much on yourself, and we're going to do this, and we believe it ought to be this way, and the Lord destroyed them. The point I'm making is, folks, you can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't follow the man that he sent to lead you. And just as God gave a man to the nation Israel, God gave a man to the body of Christ, just as God gave ordinances through a man to the nation Israel, God gave the instructions for the believers in the body of Christ how they ought to walk, and the doctrine and their destiny is through a man, and that man is Paul. And he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Over and over he told the Corinthian church, be ye followers of me. He told the Thessalonians, he said, you have followed me. And so if you want to honor the Lord, you must rightly divide this Bible and take the doctrine that God gave Paul to you and live in that manner. And so we always is trying to get this across, and because we want the body of Christ to come under the knowledge of the truth, and we want to see people get saved. And so I want to talk to you just for a moment. Jesus Christ is presented in this Bible two ways. Okay? Look with me in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, notice in verse, he's talking about the sound speech in verse 8, and the servants in verse 9, the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 13, he said the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is the great God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, first of all, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the great God and he's our Savior. Jesus Christ is not just a teacher. He wasn't a man, a teacher, and he wasn't a man, a prophet. He was a prophet. He did prophesy. He did teach. But Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Look back with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And people tell you today that Jesus Christ is not wasn't the Son of God in the flesh. Folks, that's Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what 1 John's writing about. How that any spirit confesses not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh and he's the Son of God, he's God Almighty, that's the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to say, he wasn't the God, I am. Look what he said in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 14. In whom? Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Was all things created by Jesus Christ? That's what it says. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And what does the wisdom of the world teach today? The wisdom of the world teaches today that it evolved. They teach evolution. That's their doctrine. And never forget, young people, you go off to the schools, there's nothing wrong in getting an education. You should get an education, but the wisdom of this world, evolution, is the wisdom of this world, and it comes from the God of this world. Amen. Jesus Christ is Creator. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. He's God. He's Father. And we're His sons. Now, I want you to look at with me about some things. He's presented two ways. There are two perspectives of Jesus Christ. And look with me about them. Notice in, turn with me and let's look at first in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Well, I tell you what, let's just go back and look in verse 6. And hath raised us up together, all the body, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. And I had a man ask, well, what are you talking about being saved? And I asked him, a fellow I went to school with, I run into him later on, and I asked him about his salvation. I said, have you ever been saved? He said, yes, I have. And I said, well, tell me about it. I'd like to hear about it. And he tells me about being up on a waterfall, and he slips, and he's falling, and this guy saves him. And I said, well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? He didn't know. He said, saved? What are you talking about? Can you imagine a man in North Carolina not knowing what being saved is? He said, what are you talking about? Well, when I talk about being saved, I'm talking about being saved from the wrath of God. I'm talking about being saved from death. I'm talking about being saved from the lake of fire, the second death that's out there in the future. Have you ever been saved? Are you saved from death? Are you saved from the wrath of God? Are you saved from the lake of fire today? You're either saved or you're lost. Amen. There ain't no getting saved. You're not in between. You're not in a gray area. You're either saved or you're lost. You say you get narrow-minded, don't you? Yep. I get very narrow-minded when it comes to that. I get narrow-minded when it comes to the fact that Jesus Christ is God and He's Savior. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, bless your heart, He is the Father. Amen. He's God. It's not God the Father up there, God the Son down here, God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. They're all God. And He's the expressed image of God. Now look in Ephesians. He says there that in the ages to come, verse 7, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now the good works there, and we're going to look at that in a moment, God has ordained that you walk in these good works. Now it's not by works of righteousness. We're not saved by works. Our works. Our works that we produce in the flesh cannot please God. God is not interested in my works. My works, my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in His sight. I am a sinful individual. I am unholy. I am not righteous in my flesh. There, Kevin brought out, there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh. I am a miserable, rotten, no count, good for nothing sinner. I need a Savior if I'm going to make it. What can I offer to a holy and righteous God? And yet God has ordained we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God has ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, verse 11, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. That in time past now, notice what he said, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Well, I go back here and we put it on the board thousands of times, but if I look at this thing about time past, I see here you have the circumcision. God Almighty dealt with men based upon circumcised and uncircumcision. I come down here, I got uncircumcision. Now if you want people to, they talk about baptism and they all ask, you ought to tell somebody we're having a circumcising ceremony. See how many you get. Look what he says. In time past in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. I got the circumcised up here. I got the uncircumcised down here. I got up here would be the down here would be the Gentiles. And folks, they knew nothing about the law. They could care less about the law. God Almighty put a sign. That sign was circumcision. Look, in fact, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Notice and let's see, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? Well, what he found was he could not produce through his flesh anything to please God. Look what he said. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you work for your salvation, then God owes you salvation, and that is not grace. God doesn't owe you anything. He's creator. He's not obligated to you because you've done a good work. Look what he said, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Come down to verse 11. Well, verse 10. Well, verse 9. I'll get there in a moment. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now watch it. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, and that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the who are of the circumcision only, not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of that faith of Abraham, our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. God, this was a seal, a sign of their righteousness, and they would be. In fact, it was so important that God was going to fix to kill Moses in Exodus chapter 4, because he didn't need, and his wife took and circumcised their son. So this was, God dealt with men on the basis of circumcision, uncircumcision, in time past. Now, I want you to notice something. Then I come over here. I'm just going to say here, the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry. And then you have the end of his ministry. You have the cross. In here would be Matthew through John of his earthly ministry. I have here the book of Acts over here, and the fall of Israel. They fell. In fact, why you in Romans? Look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. Notice what he says there in Romans chapter 11. Before we get there, we're talking about grace. Look in verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't have it both ways. Folks, you're either saved by grace, or you're trying to get saved on your own merits. You're trusting in something. Every one of you, right now, you're trusting in something. You're either trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, or you're trusting in your goodness, or your religion, or whatever. Everybody trusting in something. Now look at this thing about, turn over with me and come on down, verse, verse 25, I'll start there. Now folks, they fell, and they're blinded. Look back in verse 11, let me go back in verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall is salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now look in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, Jacob, when I shall take away their sins. Well, that would be at the second coming of Christ over here, when they get their sins took away, and then he sets up a kingdom. Daniel says that the rock is going to set up a kingdom over here, and the king is going to rule, and that king in that kingdom. Here's when Israel shall be saved. This is the day of atonement for the nation of Israel at the second coming of Christ. They're going to get their sins took away. You already got your sins took away. They read it in Colossians chapter 2. I mean, he has nailed it to the cross. Having forgiven you of all trespasses. I read it in Ephesians through Colossians 1. Through we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Our sins is took away. Jesus Christ is going to take their sins away at the second coming. Now look at this thing with me for a moment. I want you to notice Israel falls here, and they become, lo am I, not my people, according to Hosea chapter 3. And so they're not my people. They fell. So that a Jew today, how could he get saved? Believe what? The gospel. A Jew today has to get saved like you Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, notice what he says. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is, what, how many differences? Now what does no difference mean? Do you know what that means in the Greek? It means no. None. They're the same. There is no difference between a Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that there's one way to get saved today for the nation of Israel, and one way for the Gentiles who know not the law or know not the God of Israel. They all get saved the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for them in dying for their sins. There is no other way. Now, I want you to see something about this. Let's look at this thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. And my time is about gone, but Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And if you're here and you're lost today, let me tell you that everything that needed to be done has been done to save you from the wrath of God that's coming over here. You see, there's a time that we call the tribulation period. And God Almighty's going to pour out His wrath. It's a day of wrath, the day of the Lord. The Bible says it's a dark day, a gloomy day. It's a day that the sun is going to be darkened. It's a day of perplexity. It's a day where men's hearts is going to fail them for fear looking upon them things that's coming upon them. Folks, when you see the storm, you look out and you see the black clouds are rolling. Storms are coming. Not here yet. We can see the clouds. Not here yet. And a lot of times June will go out, storms are coming. Most time it always parts. There's something about 5 miles on the other side over there that splits that thing, and it'll go one way or another, and we don't get no rain. But sometimes it comes on. So, you know, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. I figure I'll get mine sooner or later. But it's a coming. And we look at it. We think, boy, that's a dark stuff. Not here yet. Same way it is with the wrath of God. Folks, we can see some dark clouds are coming. They're forming. They're not here yet. We're not looking for them. We're hoping to get into shelter before it comes, but it's a coming. And it's a day of darkness. A day of gloom. Why, the Bible said that the rich is going to weep. How? Because they're losing their riches. The Bible said that in Ezekiel said they'd be casting, it's like they cast their silver and their gold in the streets. It's not worth nothing no more. Boy, it's headed. Day of wrath over here. Second coming's when he's going to come. And the Bible said he's going to chain. Great angels coming. He's coming down. He's going to destroy the Antichrist. And they're going to set up. And Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And that bottomless pit down there. And all the demoniac spirits is going to be gone. And this time over here. And you know how he's going to rule? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. You know what? It's going to be tough, old people. Instant death. You mess up over here, you gone. So there won't be no while. Hang on, Matthew. Turn back to Isaiah and look in Isaiah. And notice in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And by the way, the book of Isaiah is sort of like the whole Bible. You know that? How many books is in your Bible? 66. How many chapters in Isaiah? 66. Do you know the why you're there? Look in the... I ain't going to get off on that. Look in Isaiah 66. Verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before you, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and this is in the kingdom, from one Sabbath to another, and then I'm going to have Sabbath worship again, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me in the kingdom. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. They're going to be able to see them. When they go up there to worship, and they'll go, all the males will go, and they'll go up to Jerusalem to worship. Over here. And that lake of fire be where you can see it. And it's going to be burning pitch. But look in Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now if you build a church on the rock, what's the foundation? The church? What would be the rock? The foundation, right? Well, what is it? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you want to know whether this is a kingdom church or not, verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of what? The kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's a kingdom church. Well, what's the kingdom church? That's back here, and the 12 back here is a part of. By the way, he chose out 12. Why 12? There are 12 tribes, right? Look in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're coming back to 16, so just hang on. And notice this thing when he talks about in verse 28. And Jesus said, Peter asked him, said, well, we forsaken all, what are we going to get? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then there's a prince for each throne, and there are 12 tribes over there. So you got 12 back here he chooses out. They're the princes of Israel that's going to sit on the 12 tribes, 12 thrones, and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now look at this thing in Matthew 16. What is that rock? The rock is back in verse 16. And he asked them, "Who the men say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." God had revealed, the Father had revealed to Peter that this was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's the rightful King. And then he says, "I'll build my church upon this." Now look at this thing and let's see if that holds true. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I tell you what, before you get to Acts, stop off at John and look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 30. "And many other signs to bear witness of from the Father. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins." Why was the signs written in the book of John? Why did he write them down? "That these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Why is that? Because that's the foundation for this kingdom church back here. I got a kingdom church back here in the far part of Acts. And that kingdom church here has a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, but it's not Jesus Christ dying for your sins. It's Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of Almighty God. You can believe Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of Almighty God, end up in hell. Amen. Look with me, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 34. David is not yet ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." That'd be during the tribulation period. And he's talking about the Lord. Verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ," the Messiah. He's saying about the prince. Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 18, "But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Over here, at the second coming, we read it in Romans 11, 25, "that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshings shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive." He's up there now. He ascended and he went up to the heavens, far above all heavens up here, and he's there and he's going to come down somewhere in the future out there. He's coming down. And there's two spots. And I'm just going to put a circle in here and we're going up, and then he's coming down in the clouds, and we're going to meet him up there at the rapture. This in here is a mystery. This over here is what Peter's talking about. Peter knows nothing about this in between these points here and over here. Why, he said this is that that's spoken about Joel the prophet, and he describes the tribulation period. Peter knows nothing about the mystery. He knows nothing about you that are in this building being saved by the grace of God. He knows the date. He's the Son of God. He was the Messiah, and they crucified him, and God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of that resurrection. And repent, and he's coming back over here. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, what Peter said. Look what he said, and let's look back in chapter 3 there, and look in verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, desire to murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And folks, notice verse 21, heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things over here. And then, when that happens, notice he said, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now look with me and turn to Acts. Look in Acts chapter 8. So you see the foundation. Look in Acts chapter 8. Philip. Notice what he goes up, the Ethiopian eunuch. This man was coming back from Jerusalem from worship. In verse 27, looking down, and Philip begins to preach to him Jesus. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, began to at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Well, I know that Philip preach baptism unto him. Look down in verse 37. Philip said, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for all your sins, you may. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is what? The same as they believe back here, the same as preached in the book of Acts. He believed that he was the Messiah, and so Philip stops the chariot and baptizes him, and he's in that Jewish kingdom church. Well, what about you? Look with me in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. This back here, the prophets had prophesied since the world began about all of this. All of this is prophets. Look what he said. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Did the prophets prophesy this mystery? Did they talk about it? Did they write it down? Kept secret since the world began. Now notice this thing, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now this mystery here, although it's dealing with the preaching of Jesus Christ, it was kept secret since the world began. So this was a secret in here. This in here, nobody knew about it. It's a mystery, the gospel
was a mystery in here. And it has to do with God saving people by His grace and without any work whatsoever. That's a mystery. Nobody knew that Christ went to that cross and died for man's sins and until Paul.
Amen. Notice in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, that's Peter, and James and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. They used the keys of the kingdom of earth and they stayed there and they ministered to this church, this kingdom church, and they wrote books and to these people here that will be used over here in the future because the same doctrine here is going to be applied over here, but you can't take the books that they wrote to these people and apply it to your life. It won't work. You can't do it. Well, I got here, Matthew through there, and the Peter and them, they wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. They wrote the book of Hebrews. They wrote Jude. The book. Why, do you realize that the Apostle Paul never wrote, he never even read none of the John stuff. He died before he ever read John, the Gospel of John, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. And yet he said, and the Thessalonians never read them. They didn't have them. Folks, and Paul says, I completed. And so I got Romans through Philemon here that God gave the instructions, the walk, the destiny, and the instructions for the body of Christ is in Romans through Philemon. And over here you'd have Hebrews through Revelation. The saying that he wrote to this kingdom church is going to be applied to this kingdom church over here. But in here, not so. One other verse and I'm closing. John chapter 13. If you want to see an example, I'm not going to turn there and read it, but in Acts chapter 18, where they take Apollos apart and show him a more excellent way. You know what they did to Apollos? They made him a Jew. I will ask you something. There is a different foundation. What is the foundation here? Jesus Christ, that He was the Son of God, right? Huh? What about over here? Jesus Christ, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid. Jesus Christ is laid. Died for your sins, wasn't it? Huh? How about just putting the gospel of Christ? The good news. Christ died for your sin. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. Christ went to that cross. He died for all your sins. Sin is not your issue today. Your issue is unbelief. And men today that don't build on this foundation is not laboring with God. They might be building on Jesus Christ, but they're building a house that's going to fall. John chapter 13, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And Paul was sent by God Almighty. Jesus Christ sent Paul to you as an uncircumcised Gentile to show you the way to get saved and to give you the doctrine how you can live for the Lord after you're saved. And he wrote it down in 13 books. And you don't receive Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. You don't receive Christ. And you're not following. Shake hands with one another and...